Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for your word. Your word that reminds us who we need to listen to. Your word that is the truth and the life for each of us. May we not just hear it, but may we understand it and believe it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One announcement I forgot to make. I want to thank Linda for filling in today and next week as Tatiana is on vacation. So we're grateful to Linda's gift of music with us this morning. Kent Crockett is a mid-pastor who likes to share quotes online. And he has one that talks about prayer. And he says, God answers prayer in one of four ways. Yes, no, wait, and the last one is, you do not know what you're asking for. And as I've shared with you before, I believe that when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, that last alternative is the one that makes the most sense. You do not know what you're asking for. Because we've done it so much, we forget. We don't really think about it. We just do it right from our memory. However, the Lord's Prayer, while being a good model of how we ought to pray to God, also offers a lot about how we should live our lives. And therefore, I am using the Lord's Prayer during this Lenten season to talk about how we can untie the knots of our lives. This week, I was looking through a copy of the New Yorker magazine. I always like it when an office that I'm visiting has the New Yorker, because I just sit there and look at all the cartoons. The politically incorrect cartoons, so to speak. And there was one in this particular issue that showed the pearly gates and the billowing clouds behind it. And in the foreground is a bunch of angels in full angel dress. The white robes, the wings, the halos. And they're all smoking. Now, there was no caption to this, but it was a wonderful play on the idea that smokers being asked to go outside to smoke. God said, I don't want smokers in heaven. You've got to go outside the gates. But you know, we often do that when we think about heaven. We put it in terms and visions that copy those in this life. Because this life is what we know. These ideas of heaven and what it's like are often where our minds go when we hear talk about the kingdom. The kingdom of God, heaven. The kingdom of God is that place we go to where everything is as God wants it. But you know, that perception of the kingdom really isn't biblical. And that's not what we're praying for when we say, Thy kingdom come. Otherwise, many of us might kind of whisper, Thy kingdom come. Because, God, I want to get there, but not right now. In the Gospels, Jesus is quoted as saying, the kingdom of heaven is near. It was near in the person and the presence of Jesus Christ. And the presence of Christ was in the world. Greg Carey, a professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, wrote just the other day in Huffington Post, the kingdom of God is not about going to heaven when we die. It involves God's reign working its way into the here and now. God's kingdom is active when God's will takes effect. Jesus lived out that proclamation through his ministry, his work of teaching, of healing, exorcism. They all demonstrated God's kingdom at work. The kingdom is God's work and presence in this world. The kingdom will not remove us from this world. In that wonderful large prayer in John, Jesus says, I don't ask you to remove them from this world. You didn't remove me from this world, but I ask that you be with them as they are in this world. Tom Peters' translation. Therefore, while we ask God to bring the kingdom, thy kingdom come, the only way it can come is if the second part of the phrase is followed. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how does God's will get done on earth? The psalmist writes, let me hear of your steadfast love in the morning, for in you I put my trust. Teach me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. And the author of James is much more emphatic. He denounces the ways of the world. To live in the ways of the world is to be an enemy of God's ways. We must submit ourselves to God. Draw near to God, so that God will draw near to us. We have the choice, according to the Psalm and James, to choose which version of reality we wish to live in and work for. We can live in and work for God's, or we can live in and work for the world's. But we really can't do both. Yesterday, I did the funeral for Lori Pateman's mother, Trudy Brown, and like I do at many funerals, I read the passage from John 14 in which Jesus speaks of the house with many rooms. And then he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus responded, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For centuries, people have heard that last part as you have to believe in Jesus in order to reach God. However, Jesus just says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The things I do, that is the way. The kingdom doesn't come when we say the name of Jesus like some magical password. Rather, it comes when we live our lives like he did. He said, my way is the way. He clearly saw his mission outlined in his speech before his hometown synagogue in Luke chapter 4. When he quoted from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he said to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The kingdom of God was present. The kingdom of God is near when we, like Jesus, bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's our mission too. That's the will of God that we are supposed to follow. That's the way. The will of God is not that we judge for purity's sake to determine who's in and who's out. That's God. However, God wants to do that. But when we follow the way of Christ, his life, then the kingdom of God has come near to us. When we choose God's version over the world's version, and they're very different. Our Jewish brothers and sisters believe that when the Messiah comes, they will know because everything will be as it's supposed to be. In other words, The Messiah will come, boom, the kingdom of God is here. That's not necessarily what we believe as Christians. We believe a Messiah has come and has charged us to work with God to bring the kingdom on earth. And when we are engaged in that work, we will know the peace of God. The will of God, as evident in the life of Christ, will help us to untie a lot of knots in our lives. Knots of anxiety, knots of confusion, knots of wondering where we can find the way, where, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to react. So, let's choose God's way. And let's begin untying some of those knots.